Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Coming up this week, Bob Iger's contract gets some changes. Disney is taking heat on one of its Festival of the Holiday pavilions. We'll talk about a few Christmas gifts you could get for the Disney fan in your life. And we'll tell you our highlights and lowlights from 2018 and what we're looking forward to in 2019. All that coming up next from the Bob Barley Studio in Orlando, Florida. This is the Diz Unplugged. This is the Diz Unplugged, episode 1016 for the week of December 4th, 2018. The Diz Unplugged is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect Disney vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show, coming to you live from the Bob Barley Studio. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined at the table this week by my good friends, Charles Boda.
Hey.
Steve Porter.
Hello.
Therese Eccles.
Hey.
Julie Martin.
Hi, y'all.
And back in the production nook, our associate producer, Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
And our producer, Mr. Craig Williams.
Happy holidays.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay, it's going to be one of those shows. Well, welcome to the show, everyone. Hope you are having a good week. I know that some of us at the table are exhausted, especially Teresa right now, because she is dealing with the aftermath of our incredibly successful auction to raise money for Give Kids the World last week. I think the actual official count is about $99,000 that was taken in. We are doing some things to raise that number. I think we're going to have it over $110,000 by the time everything shakes out. But it was an incredibly successful week. Everybody did such a great job. For that reason, for the fact that the last month in particular, I damn near broke these guys, I have decided that we are going to go on hiatus a week early. This is going to be our last show for 2018. We will not be back again until, I believe, January 8th, Craig?
That would be correct.
Yes.
January 8th of next year. Now, don't worry. We have a lot of stuff going up, a lot of content going up, so there'll be plenty for you to consume between now and then. But this has been, I think, for everybody, it's been a great year, but it's been an exhausting year. I know for me, I'm wiped out. I'm wiped out. The travel killed me.
No one feels bad about all your travel.
I know. I understand.
Cry as a river.
I understand, but it takes a lot out of you when you do that much travel, and then the marathon show, and you know that we all. I think that broke everybody. That 12 hours broke everybody. Well, not Teresa, because she was like taking 4 hour siestas.
My gosh. I took a 3 hour break, went home, flat ironed my daughter's hair, fixed dinner, entertained my sister.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. But she's making up for it now because all those items that were won by folks
all over the place
are being shipped out of the Welcome Center out in Cape Canaveral, yes. Florida.
And if you have not given me your address, and some of you have not, and you want your items shipped, contact me at teeckles@dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. If you want to pick it up, even better. Contact me at teeckles@dreamsunlimitedtravel.com.
If you just want to say hello, teeckles@dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. How many people have opted to pick it up?
Three.
We need to get you an Amazon Prime banner.
3 out of 500 and some packages. Yeah.
Yeah. It was incredible. I mean, this year solidly now between this and the 1,000th episode fundraiser that we did back in July and August, we're over $200,000 raised this year alone for Give Kids the World. So to everybody here, everybody on the team, and to everybody who has participated and donated, thank you. This is your victory. And we have some great ideas for next year.
Me too.
There's some great ideas for next year.
Tell you later.
Sounded ominous.
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't even want to go there. But we have some great ideas for next year for some things we're going to do to kind of continue our efforts to raise money for Give Kids the World. So very, very excited about that. We've got a lot of things. One of the other reasons I wanted to go on hiatus a little early is we have some kind of big changes coming up in January. I'm not saying anything. Other than that, we're going to have some big changes coming up in January and need to do some prep work to get ready for that. So very excited about what's coming up next year. And we're going to talk about what we're looking forward to in Disney World, Disneyland, and other associated places in 2019. 2019 is going to be a busy year. There's a lot happening at Disney World next year. So we'll talk to that. But that is what I have in housekeeping. Does anybody have anything they need to bring up? Teresa, why don't you like just give people the address of the Welcome Center and what hours you guys are there if they want to ever stop by and say hello?
Yeah, if you want to stop by, I will put you to work. 6550 North Atlantic Avenue, Suite B. I don't know the zip code. I never know the zip code. 32, got a couple twos and a nine in it.
Don't scramble at your
It's 32920, isn't it?
Yes, it is. That's it. I never remember it. Yeah, stop by. We're there Monday, Thursday, and Friday, 9 to 5, and the weekends we're there 9 to 4. But I'm usually there till 6 every night anyway. And if you knock on the window and the door's locked, I'll wave at you.
But Teresa always has coffee and snacks, and there's free Wi-Fi out there right, you know, before your cruise.
Yep.
If you want to stop by. And
comfy furniture, come in, sit down. We watch Christmas movies all day now while we're working.
Okay.
We like that.
She has to throw that in for my benefit.
No, it's a fun atmosphere. A lot of people do stop by.
Yeah.
Yep. It's fun. Breaks up the day.
Craig, did you have something?
Yeah. So wanted to give an update for anyone who was an auction winner or donated the $10 or more during the auction. You should by now have a link in your email. The only way you do not is if you got your email incorrect when you signed up for HandBid, which a good amount of people did because I got about maybe 15 or so bounce backs saying that the email address was invalid or wrong. So some of you out there, you might be wondering why you didn't get it yet. It's probably because of that, or a lot of people saying it's been in their junk folders. So also check there. And I do apologize.
And just for everyone's benefit, what Craig is talking about, anybody that donated directly during our auction week, and anyone apparently that has won an auction, is being sent a link to be able to, a private link, to go back and watch the 12-hour marathon show that we did a few weeks ago. So that's the link he's talking about.
Yeah. And I apologize if you're annoyed by getting it multiple times, but
five in a row that I got?
You won multiple auctions, and I wasn't going to go through and find out who won multiple things.
That explains it.
Because I exported the list of everyone who won and threw it in like.
Well, I won more than
emails.
I won more than five items. I only got five emails.
Check your spam.
You might not be. Yeah. I think you won 11. And to piggyback on that, if your address is not in there, and there are people that did their address is not in there, and this is for the items that you won, not the if you did a direct donation. I don't need your address. I will be calling you. I will be hunting you down because you need to get your item. And I need your address. I need your full address. You can't just say, I live in the United States.
In Tulsa. I live in Tulsa.
I live in Tulsa.
Just address it to me
in
Tulsa.
Good.
Mark in Tulsa.
It'll get Mark in Tulsa.
We all know each other. All right. Anything else in housekeeping? No? All right. So a couple news stories. It was a really slow news week. Not a lot of big stuff going on. So just going to have a little conversation about a couple of these stories. The first one I want to talk about is Disney kind of clamping down on Mr. Iger a little bit, saying that they are establishing, quote, more rigorous performance requirements for his equity award than those reflected in the original contract. When his contract expires at the end of 2021, he could be in line for a much larger or smaller bonus as he steps down of the CEO of Disney. This is courtesy of the Hollywood Reporter, is where I'm getting this from. It's saying here that Disney underperformed 75%. I find this hard to believe, but Disney underperformed 75% of the rest of the S&P 500. If Disney underperforms 75% of the S&P 500, he would get no bonus at all. So, I mean, but Disney does outperform.
Yeah.
But why do you think they're doing this?
I don't know. To be honest with you, I find it a little weird. The constant, you know, extending his contract and extending his contract, as in one of those, like, we don't have a replacement, Iger, we need you, just stick around for two more years. And now, now adding this into the mix, honestly, though, you know, the likelihood of this negatively affecting Bob Iger does not seem huge to me.
Well, they're saying, the article is saying that, you know, the main reason for doing this is feedback from shareholders. Mm-hmm. That shareholders are getting a little fed up with how much he's making.
Yeah.
But
I also think it could just be a way to instill confidence in shareholders, saying like, hey, listen, this is, if it continues to grow, then he'll get his bonus. And now there's a little bit weight behind that, you know.
But I think what confuses me most about this story is, isn't he supposed to be leaving? what is going on with the search for a replacement? This, at this point, I mean, I understand wanting to make sure that there's a, you know, a good succession. Obviously, Disney is riding high. The company's doing better than it has ever done before. And in large measure, thanks to his leadership and, you know, the things that, you know, he was the one that acquired Pixar. He's the one that acquired Lucasfilm and Marvel. And those are driving a lot of the growth, whether it's in movies or in theme parks. Think about, you know, the acquisition of Lucasfilm is what is giving us Galaxy's Edge, which is probably the most anticipated thing to happen in a theme park since, I don't know, theme parks. Mm-hmm. I understand this guy's hard to replace. They're not going to find. Are they looking for a guarantee that whoever comes in next is going to be like the second coming of Bob Iger? They're not going to find it. So I don't know what they're, I really don't know what they're waiting for.
Well, yeah, and it seems weird that there's not, you know, when Tom Staggs is around, it was like, okay, it looks like it's going to be him. There's not like a person right now that people are looking to say, oh, it's going to be this person.
Yeah, there's no names, serious names being floated around out there.
Which is weird. Every time his contract starts to end, there's a ton of speculation on who's going to replace him. You know, as far as this stands, we're at 2021. We should be speculating. We should have a, you know, like be narrowing down the contenders and have a relatively solid idea of at least a small group of people that it can be.
He wants to leave, right? Is that, or does he want to stay?
I think if he wanted to leave, he'd be gone.
Yeah. Okay, well, according to him, he would love to retire. And that's his plan, is to dead retire, not run for president or anything like that. Just 2021, he is done for a while. But that's what he states. But he's been stating that for a while now, and they keep extending.
Yeah, I think we've been talking about this particular story for, what, 5 years now? Mm-hmm. Five, 6 years? So it's interesting. I mean, look, I understand the risk that will come, that's inherent with picking a new person to lead the company, period, let alone replace the most powerful and effective, really. And I'm saying this is somebody that was a fan of a lot of what Michael Eisner did. But I think we have to say that Iger is probably the best chief executive that company has had since Walt died.
Well, one of the things about it is it's going to be difficult for anybody who comes in his place to replicate the same kind of success. Because his idea...
I think you were right the first time. Excess.
Yeah. Well, his strategy to get as many of these different intellectual properties and then develop them and sort of rebrand Disney in that way, you know, that's coming to fruition in the next coming years. We will see returns from that. But, you know, there are only so many intellectual properties that Disney can continue to buy up. They've already gotten some of the biggest ones. They've got Lucasfilm. They've got Marvel. So somebody coming in their place can't really just ride off that trend. I mean, I'm sure they will to a certain degree, but they've got a couple big ones. There's only so much that they're going to be able to buy in the long term, not without government oversight.
The natural cycle for you look historically at any business at all. The natural cycle is at some point they peak and then they start to fall off. We are starting to see that some of the shine is off of Apple right now, because the sale of new phones has slowed significantly. And, you know, the story, you know, 3 or 4 years ago was that Microsoft was pretty much, you know, a has-been player. And now all of a sudden, Microsoft has topped Apple as the most valuable company in the world. And, you know, because they made some changes and, you know, but that's the cycle of business, is that it's up and down. So Disney has been on this progressive upswing, really since Iger took over. I mean, it definitely started falling apart a little bit at the end of Eisner's term, which is one of the reasons he was pushed out. The fact that it keeps going up is probably one of the reasons why he hasn't left yet. Because I think they know that when somebody else comes in, it might be, you know, it might mark that decline. But this, you know, telling him that we're gonna tighten up how you get your bonuses.
Well, you know, some of that could be, you know, a pushback from the contract that they had when they bought the Fox acquisitions, which maybe not everybody was happy with the gigantic, just immediate bonus. But, you know, from Iger's perspective, I think that was one of those, I stuck around and made this happen, I'm getting a payout kind of thing. Maybe the shareholders weren't incredibly happy with that. But when it comes to who they have replace him, the thing is, as a company like in Disney's position, do you want somebody who's going to take the properties that he built and then try and, you know, somebody who has a good knowledge of consumer products and parks and resorts and the streaming and just try and keep and maintain the course? Or do you want somebody who's going to come in with a new vision and possibly mix things
blow
up?
Blow everything up.
And they, you know, they have done all these acquisitions of intellectual properties, but when he leaves, the streaming service and that direct-to-consumer push of his is all still going to be pretty new. So do you want somebody who's just going to make sure that things don't fall apart, or do you want somebody else who's got a brand new idea and direction for the company? Do you want a strategist or a visionary, you know?
No, I guess you look like you have something to say back there, Craig.
I just want a plateau where everything is kept up and maintained. Like, and also, like, you know,
I'm sure the board of directors disagrees with you.
I know, but it's a, like, it's not always a crave of I need more. I know that is in a monetary sense, but as a fan sense, I just want to see I just want to see steady quality.
Okay, well, now if we're talking about from a fan sense, no, I don't want to see steady quality. I want to see a drastic improvement in the quality of a lot of things at Walt Disney World.
Not just Walt Disney. I mean, like, company-wide. Like, with movies that are being released, I want to see them just, you know, I don't always, sometimes I enjoy them taking risks in some of the entertainment they're producing. Other times I wish they wouldn't do that so much. I want to see them try to get, like, a level playing field on that. Walt Disney World, I think there are things they need to fix.
But I think any
service, you know,
I think any Disney fan that's been around for any length of time would agree that while Iger's tenure has certainly been marked by great financial success for Disney, it has also been the death of the Disney service model that made it famous, made the parks famous, the hotels famous. Remember back in the 90s, everybody talked about that Disney service model. That's what they pushed. They don't talk about that anymore because Disney service is on par with pretty much everybody else. I don't think it's exceptional. From a hotel standpoint, I see other hotel chains that do as good or better. And I'm talking about middle-of-the-road hotel chains here. I'm not talking about Park Hyatts and Four Seasons. I'm talking about Hiltons and Sheratons. And so when that's the point of comparison, I think, you know, definitely on the downside of Iger's tenure, it has been the death of Disney service as we once knew it, because the emphasis has been on the bottom line. And I understand it's a business and it needs to do that. But when one of your key financial holdings is based on service, and they found a model where they can raise the, you know, raise, generate more and more revenue every year and kind of pull back on service at the same time. That has definitely been, in my opinion, the low point of his tenure.
I think some of the service that you still see, I think I agree with you, but I think some of the service that some guests still see are the remaining cast members that were around in the past. And so they still have that training and expertise from, you know, even the older cast members that were there from the Eisner years. And so there's still that, like, little sparkle left, but yeah, I think it's fleeting.
But it was so dramatic, you know, I didn't realize, because, you know, when something erodes slowly, you don't notice it as much. Mm-hmm. When I was out in Tokyo, at Tokyo Disneyland, the difference in the cast members, it's like, whoa, okay. And so, as I said in the, you know, the marathon show, it says a lot that a third-party company runs a better Disney theme park than Disney does. And I think that's part, that has to be, any discussion of Iger's legacy has to include that. Has to include that. Because that died on his watch. That died on his watch. But
it's also, I will say with the cast member mark, it's also just a how you were raised type thing. And I don't want to slander or belittle my generation at all, but I can say that
you're horrible people. I'm kidding.
No, but I think it is a trend that a lot of simple things like manners, saying please, thank you, yeah. Yes ma'am,
wearing
no
your hat
ma'am,
inside.
Yes sir, no sir. A lot of that stuff is not
right
around, and I think that's part of the reflection.
I don't know how much I agree. I mean, I don't know how much I agree with that. I don't know.
It's a lot easier to be. I think a lot of people learn how to be nastier nowadays more than they do respect other people.
I blame social media.
Well, I think that's a big part. That's a big part of it. But
for regular people, I understand that. But for like a business model standpoint, you're training people for service. It's not a generational thing. It comes from the top down. So if you expect good cast members, they need training. There needs to be oversight.
Yeah.
That's where you get that. That's where hotels get it of any generation.
Right. All right. We need to move on to our next story. And Charles, we were having dinner last night, and Charles brought this up to me. And this is an interesting little story here. This year, for the first time at the Festival of the Holidays at Epcot, they have a new kiosk called L'Chaim, which is celebrating Hanukkah, which is great, right?
Very cool.
You know, it's the first time they're doing it. That's awesome. Here's the problem. None of it has anything to do with Hanukkah at all, and none of it's kosher. And a lot of people are starting to get upset about this. This is from businessinsider.com. The menu of pastrami on rye, potato knish, chicken and matzo ball soup, and a black and white cookie. This is a Jewish deli. This isn't Hanukkah.
The traditional Hanukkah black and white cookie.
Yes, you know, which all of my Jewish friends have told me over and over again how important that is to their religious celebrations. And that people are saying that there are major dishes that they could have absolutely included here. Latkes, mm-hmm. The potato pancakes, and the jelly-filled donuts. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Nope.
Sufganiot. I'm sorry, my pronunciations. If I can't pronounce it right, I don't want to, if I can help it. That these are staples for Hanukkah, and they're not included. And then, of course, there's the fact that, you know, religious Jews keep kosher. And you're creating a kiosk around a religious holiday, religious Jewish holiday. That's a big oversight. Looking at this just on spec, this looks like it was not at all thought through, and it reduces this
to stereotypes.
To stereotypes. I mean, the pastrami on rye and the matzo ball soup. Yes, I mean, yes, if I could walk into a Jewish deli in New York, I'm going to find those things, and they're going to be amazing. But it has... Unless, look, I'm not Jewish. I don't know. But maybe somebody who is Jewish can explain to me, like, if there's a connection there that I'm missing?
Well, it kind of seems to me like when they made the kiosk, whoever made the final call, like, their entire knowledge came from, like, their one Jewish friend in 12 episodes of Seinfeld. Like, they didn't put a lot of work to go into.
I don't think they had a Jewish friend. I think they went to a Jewish deli and said, oh, yeah, we'll do that.
Jen and I had this conversation at work, and she is Jewish. And she basically said what you just said. This is not Hanukkah. This is a deli.
And you're reducing it to a stereotype and a character. And, you know, the whole idea behind World Showcase was to expose people to the culture of these different places and cultures and traditions, especially at the holidays. I don't think anybody did it with ill intent. I don't think any decision was made. But I think it's kind of can tie back into what we were just talking about with the death of Disney service is also the death of attention to detail in a lot of places. A detail that used to mark Disney. This is a big detail. Steve, sitting in my office, you were saying something earlier that I think is relevant.
It's weird to me that Disney can think, all right, we're going to power wash the streets every night. We're going to, Disney cast members should swoop up the trash and not bend over because it looks like bad show. All these certain things that are, like, very specific, and yet they, like, things like
they
this.
They miss this?
Right. Other things just seem to fall through the cracks, and it's like, oh.
You can make the argument that this is somewhat racially stereotyping.
It is to a point, but...
Or culturally stereotyping.
With the holiday kitchens, though, they've never been, like, perfect from the start of it. Germany is, I believe they have, like, a sausage dish and something else. Germans usually eat fish, if I remember from all my German classes in high school and college. Like, fish is a big part of their Christmas dinner and Christmas meals. Instead, you can get cheese fondue there. Like, so it's... It's not just this part. There's just blatant stereotypes at every single food booth in a way.
Yeah, but I think when those stereotypes are more cultural and kind of on the border of what's accurate, that's one thing. It's another thing when it's religious and you're reducing it like this. I think there's, look, I'm not one to overdo it with political correctness. This one bothers me a little bit.
Well, it's, if you're going to do it, do a slight amount of research or saying, hey, we've got this kiosk to honor your holiday. You can't eat here. Yeah, because
right. It's not kosher.
Because it's not, according to your religion, none of these foods would be appropriate for you to eat. We didn't want to go to the work, though, to get foods that you can, but other people can celebrate things that are vaguely reminiscent of a holiday, and not even a holiday, of a culture that celebrates a holiday. It is so many points removed from caring at all. And that's the thing that kills me.
Right.
It's not, oh, well, we're stereotyping a little. It's like, listen, going into this,
we didn't even try.
You should have realized, okay, you do a billion Christmas celebrations. You do all of this stuff. And when it comes to Judaism, you're trying to throw something out there.
What are you?
I can't say it.
Okay.
Did I say something?
No. Or just,
okay.
Oh, he's reading the chat. He's reading chat. Be good, guys.
I didn't say anything.
Santa Claus is watching.
That doesn't matter for
well, we
people
were
celebrating Hanukkah.
I'm talking about Craig. Okay. Talking about Craig.
Okay.
There. All right, you got to stop now. You're distracting me.
Sorry.
If you can't share it.
I do have something to say about this, though, because I did go around to a bunch of the booths for the Festival of the Holidays, and... I actually felt like a lot of the booths are being labeled as celebrations of, so the Lahayim booth is specifically Hanukkah, which is going on right now, but, that's not what it is. And the same with the Feast of the Three Kings and which is technically like a Puerto Rican thing is not very accurate. Like they have Coquito and
that's fine. But, like, it's not... I was saying that I thought this was all going to be, like, these are this holiday. Here's an explanation of how, why this is traditional. What mm-hmm. is this? And this
That's what it should be.
It's not educational. And Epcot is supposed to be inherently educational. So I feel like it's like what you said. Not only does this become stereotypical, but it really doesn't inform me about anything to do with the Jewish people and the type of food that may be inherent to their cultures.
As we've also seen from the announcements about what is coming to Epcot, what's replacing Illuminations, things like that, it's moving from a celebration of the world and its cultures to a celebration of themselves.
Yeah.
So maybe this is just the start of that. But it's a shame. It is a shame. But it does bring me to an email I received earlier this week. Last week we were talking about at the Germany Pavilion about the punk rock band they have for Christmas. And I said, we have any German listeners to please tell me, is this something that I missed? So Nina from Germany wrote into me and said, first of all, the pickle in the Christmas tree is a complete lie. She said, her exact words, the pickle is a lie. In my almost 36 years of existence, I have not heard of a tradition to put a pickle ornament in the Christmas tree. My family didn't, and none of my friends or colleagues or whomever did, so it is a lie. So I go back to what I have said for years. The whole pickle, the whole pickle in the tree thing in Germany is, it's the tree of lies. It's the tree of lies. And with that out of the way, because she says, that really has bothered me a lot, let's answer your question. I think it was rhetorical, right? So to confirm your assumption, no, punk rock in any kind is not related to German Christmas whatsoever. I think the people at Epcot also made an awful decision to invite such a band to play during the holiday season. There would be so many other beautiful things to talk about concerning German Christmas traditions, like the Christmas markets and the glow wine, that could have been done. So, Nita, thank you for sending that in. Thank you for confirming for me that, in fact, Germany has not gone around the bend and embraced punk as a Christmas tradition.
Pickles and punk.
Pickles and punk. I didn't think we were going to talk about this, so I didn't pull up the email. But we had received another email from another German listener who had a theory that, I guess, like, I think it was around my age or something like that. So, you know, like, mid-30s, but that... Growing up, there was a band, I guess, who put out a big Christmas punk cover album or something like that, that like a certain demographic all listened to at that time. It was popular. So they kind of do that. And his theory was that maybe one of those cast members was just the one German they asked, hey, what do you guys do at Christmas? Oh, we listen to this punk album. That being said, Bad Religion actually has a great Christmas punk album if you want to. It is awesome. Their version of Little Drummer Boy is amazing.
Well, that's like the '80s, you know. In the '80s, we all had that. All the weird bands put out their little Christmas songs, and they still once in a while play them on the radio. We all got it, Pete. Did you? Okay.
No, I didn't.
I didn't get it either.
No, because Craig hates me.
Okay, Josh Lee. Very funny. That was cute. I won't repeat it, but it was cute. And no, it wasn't racist, but it was very cute. But yeah, so we have Germany being grossly misrepresented in terms of its Christmas. You're talking about what Rhino was just mentioning, and now we have Lakaim. So there seems to be a pattern here. So hopefully for next year, maybe they'll do a little bit more homework. Maybe they'll put a little bit more effort in rather than doing something surface and stupid. Maybe do something a little bit more thoughtful. If you're going to put these kiosks up and this is what you're going to build them as, put a little bit of effort into it and stop phoning it in.
Can I ask you a question? Okay. They're doing it. They're not putting any effort into this and they're not, you know, doing their research for these things. But do you think the majority of people going to Epcot care?
Yeah.
Do you?
The
masses. I'm not talking about the Uber fans. I'm talking about the people that are there. They're going along. Oh, look,
well,
Jewish
know,
food.
Probably not, but that has never been the standard that Disney held itself to. That a lot of the details and things are things most people would not notice.
Right.
But it was important. And this is exactly what we were just talking about in the last story. That those details... This is just a gross example of it. of how those details are now not considered, not looked at, because that is how far away they have gotten from what made them what they are. In terms of the theme parks, in terms of the theme parks and the resorts, this is how far away they've gotten from who they used to be. And they're okay with it as long as it doesn't affect the bottom line. Because that, like I said, that's the dark part of Iger's legacy. That's the dark part.
Well, how do we fix it? How do we make them see it?
Well, hopefully whoever replaces him has a different view on it.
Because we all know it's wrong. And, you know, I've known about the pickle for years. And it's just, I shy away from the pickle tree. I do like punk music, but I don't particularly listen to it at Christmas. So
it's just Epcot guests have changed. It's not about caring about the culture anymore. It's about drinking and having a good time. And I don't care what anyone says. Every single time I go, I'm watching.
Disney can appeal to both. Disney can appeal to that market who wants to do the drink around the world, who wants to do the food, and not dismiss and offend
and they should.
Virtually every culture. By virtue of the fact that they are too lazy to do even a Wikipedia search before they put together one of these kiosks. Yeah.
Also, if you want like a quiet park, it's not a good idea to like fill somebody with booze and then it's insult a bunch of random cultures and see your reaction.
Yeah, really. So, all right, we got to move on to a great article that was put up by one of our contributors, Chuck Morarchi. About must-have gifts for the Disney fanatic. I really enjoyed this article, and I actually took his advice. The first thing that, as soon as I saw it, I just lost my mind, is the R2-D2 French press.
Oh, it's so cute!
Isn't that adorable?
I have that silverware. I have that the lightsaber spoon and everything.
But do you have the...
I don't drink coffee.
Oh, that's right. Could you imagine?
I know.
Rhino and caffeine?
It's a sight.
$21.
Wow.
$21 from ThinkGeek, I think it is. So it's by no means expensive. It's adorable. If you have a Disney fan in your life who's a coffee drinker and a Star Wars fan, I think more importantly a Star Wars fan.
Yeah, just don't buy me that.
A Star Wars fan in your life who's a coffee drinker.
That's cute.
You can't do better. First of all, French press is the best way to have your coffee. Well, second best way.
That it's only $21. I paid more than that for an ornament.
Well, you know, it is from ThinkGeek. We can debate the how long it will last, how many pots of coffee we'll actually make with this before it disintegrates. But $21. Really nice, especially if you've got like a Secret Santa, and you need something like $20-ish, under $25. Great gift.
Okay, Charles, don't buy it for
yourself. He also points to, and I wholeheartedly support this, Joffrey's Coffee. You know, what better thing to put in your R2-D2 French press than Joffrey's does the whole line. A lot of the coffee served at all the signature restaurants and a lot of locations around property are from Joffrey's. This was a big step up from their contract with Nescafe.
I forgot about that.
And so the coffee definitely has gotten better. I will tell you that the Citrico's blend, the Tusker House blend.
The Napa Rose is good.
The Napa Rose is really good. The Napa Rose is a little dark. The Carthay Circle one. The Carthay Circle one is not my favorite. But some really, really good, some really good coffees.
Can you get those in pods?
I don't believe so. Mm-hmm. I don't believe so. But they brew really well in the fill-your-own pod on the Keurig. Okay. They fill really, really well. $11 and up for those.
That's good.
For a pound of that coffee. If you're doing it with the French press, remember, you need to do a coarse grind if you're going to get it ground. Don't get it ground like you're making coffee. No, don't get it ground like you're making coffee in a drip coffee maker, because that's a finer grind than you need a coarser ground for French press. So
cool.
French press, percolator, things like that. You want to
percolator.
I have one.
Do you?
I have a friend who still uses one.
That makes good coffee.
He claims the same thing.
But the vacuum coffee, the vacuum thing is the best way to make a cup of coffee. Never touches metal. Never touches metal. It's all glass, so it makes the smoothest cup of coffee.
It's how Magneto drinks his coffee in jail.
Right?
Yeah.
I was watching Rhino to see if he
could. Oh, my God. I love you, Charles.
Then this next one is The Incredibles purse.
But that's not 21.
Well, I'm not, never going to hear again. Doesn't say who.
Dooney and Burke.
Oh, it's Loungefly. Loungefly.
That's sharp.
Toy Story purse, $59.99.
It's not bad for a purse.
The Incredibles crossbody purse, $39.99. But do you have to speak to ladies about this? Because
I mean, if you're an
ladies
Incredibles
or
fan,
if Kevin Close was here, he could.
Well, I don't think he likes the Incredibles very much, but,
I like it.
He will. He has absolutely reached the point where he will absolutely carry around
a
woman's bag and do it proudly.
Or an adult who loves the Incredibles, yeah, totally.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's even kind of Christmassy because it's red.
It
and
is.
Black.
It'd be even cuter for little Edna's, but I'll take
I was
that.
Thinking Baby Jack
Jackson. Baby Jack Jackson. Jack Jack on one side, yeah.
I have my one shirt with this exact same print on it. Kylie could get the bag and we could be matching.
Oh my gosh.
Be adorable.
Sweet. That would be to die for.
I disavow all knowledge of you at that point. And also to find this, find links to all of these things, just www.info.com. Right there on the homepage is this article, and there are links to everything in there. All right, going over to one of my favorite stores, William Sonoma.
Ooh. look at the creme brulee.
They have the Mickey Mouse's 90th birthday. Le Croisset cookware. Elegant, practical, but with a touch of whimsy.
And it will cost you an arm and a leg.
Yes.
These are much more expensive. Oh, so wow, yeah. The cast iron round oven with a Mickey silhouette on the lid handle, $350. That's the 4.5 quart one.
Holy crap.
The 2 quart without the Mickey lid on the handle, $250. They also have the ramekins.
Please be in my
one in black,
range.
One in red is $50
for each.
Whoa!
I don't know. I would assume the pair would be $50, but
Are ramekins the little dishes?
Uh huh.
Yeah, yeah.
Little cat dishes. Yeah, they're cute.
No,
they're human dishes.
Well, I don't eat creme brulee
that you're using for cats inappropriately.
I will tell. And right now, sign up and save at Williams Sonoma, 15% off plus free shipping.
Yeah, get that 15% off.
And gotta need it.
It is a set of two for $50. Okay. Yes, a set of two.
I'm sorry, I cannot imagine $300 for a pot. That I mean, I don't cook that much. It would take me years to get my money.
My mother has this brand, and she never uses them. They're sitting there for us to look at, and then she uses the old crap she's been using for 50 years.
I was watching some show recently, and they specifically, like, the character was going off about his list, and he was like, of course I want the Le Croissant and baby powder blue, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, and I was like, what the heck is a Le Croissant? And now here we are. Now I'm being educated.
What's a trivet? Trivet?
It's a trivet.
It's a trivet.
Trivet.
You know what a trivet is?
It's a thing on Star Trek when it keeps growing and growing, and there's
that's
like a
triple, honey. it's
an exotic cat.
It's like that's a rubber. It's like a rubber.
Can be rubber. It can be it. You put it on your table to put your pot on, so it doesn't.
So it doesn't burn the table.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't scorch.
A trivet.
I didn't know that.
Which I could use. I could use more because
you can use a pot.
A big coaster.
Yeah.
A big coaster for hot pots. Yes.
A trivet. Trivet. I like the way you said it better.
Sounds fancy.
Trivet. That's my.
It probably is how you say it.
It's probably like Trevet or something. Yeah.
They're trivets in Illinois.
We're just being ugly American.
I would name mine Alex.
Alex.
These are beautiful, beautiful pots. But in reality, only celebrities can buy these and cook with them. They're little famous chefs.
They're not
that
expensive.
Yeah, but.
Are you saying that like you have one on order?
I don't know. I don't have one on order, but I have. I do have. Le Croisset pots and some pieces.
I need those little.
You know the Dutch ovens. Though. The Dutch oven is for a lot of dishes is really important. And
see, Klaus could slow down his eating to get the food out of the little ears.
Yeah,
it would.
So all right, moving on. Those who are Disney historians and just love the nostalgia of Disney will love the original park map throw pillows. of the Magic Kingdom at Walt Disney World. This is an Etsy. It's a product on Etsy. Prices start at $22 for a 14 by 14 pillow.
That's not bad.
That's not bad at all. That's not bad at all. It's not to my taste,
but they're cool.
They're cute.
They are cute.
I wouldn't put them on my couch.
Well, depending on my office, though.
Depending on what your color scheme is, might work. No, that wouldn't work in my office.
It would work in mine. It would bring out the red and everything else I have. So I think it's cute.
Let's see. He has also a Mickey Through the Decades 3-piece candy bento box from Sugarfina.
That's cute.
A luxury candy boutique. Looks like an old-fashioned television set.
That's cute.
I've had candy from here before.
Limited edition candies include strawberry gummy Mickey ears, birthday cake gummy Mickey gloves, and berry gummy Mickey buttons. Available through Nordstrom's.
Berry gummy.
$39.
Oh, like that's where I've heard that.
I love Nordstrom's. You've been to the outlet one on?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
The Nordstrom rack.
Yeah.
I love the rack.
Yeah, I love the rack.
I prefer...
They took away our real Nordstrom.
They did. There's no...
You have to go to Tampa.
Tampa's the only Nordstrom.
I'm not going to Tampa.
And it's not a good Nordstrom. It's not Tampa.
I sound like an old lady. I'm not going to Tampa.
We just got to go to Winter Park.
Tampa's... And that Nordstrom is not a good Nordstrom. So you got... Nordstrom, it broke two ways. You got some of them that have turned into Marshalls.
Yeah.
And you've got some of them that have retained that. Like the elegance, one... The Nordstrom out in Honolulu was beautiful. So... All right, the other final item on our list of gifts for the Disney fan in your life was Disney partnering with OtterBox to bring Disney fans a number of cool and fun products for your high-tech devices, including a Mickey Mouse stand for the Google Home Mini speaker.
I want that.
Are you getting this,
Corey? The Google Home Mini sits upright in the stand with Mickey ears on the top and Mickey's red shorts as the base. Does not include, obviously, the Google Home Mini, but the stand and the ears, $19.95. So, some very cute. I thought Chuck did a great job. Yeah. Thank you very much, Chuck. This was an awesome article. I really loved it. And you actually gave me some really good ideas for stocking stuffers. Awesome list. Like I said, www.info.com or the URL that the site will be known by starting in January. We are going back to DisneyInfo.com.
Stocking's not up. What's the deal?
Okay, focus.
Okay, we said stocking stuff where I was looking for.
Focus. Because that was kind of important, what I just said.
I know.
DWDWinfo.com will still be there, and you'll still be able to use that, but we are going back to using and branding ourselves as DisneyInfo.com. I've owned that for many, many years. We stopped using it for a while. We're going back to using it. But DisneyInfo.com also flows a lot easier when I have to say.
Yeah.
DisneyInfo.com and check out Chuck's article on gifts for the Disney fan in your life. So awesome. All right, let's go ahead and move on to rapid fire, and we're going to start with you, Charlie.
Okay. Wow. Informal.
That's what is all his friends and his family call him Charlie.
Really?
All of us call him Charles.
I've gone by Charles since I was 15. The problem is a lot of my friends I've known for 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
So it just ends up...
Charlie.
Yeah, getting replicated.
Charlie.
Cheer up, Charlie.
I like that.
Mr. Buckley.
Casting call gives insight into new Cirque show at Disney Springs. This is pretty much we know that there's going to be a new Cirque du Soleil show that's going to replace La Nuba, which got canceled... or had its last show December 31st of 2017. So a casting call was put out, which gives a few small details. So initially reported by the Orlando Sentinel, the Walt Disney World Resort's upcoming Cirque show is looking for a youth or adult who could play a 12-year-old Caucasian girl. A height of between 4 and 5 inches, as well as a slim figure, are also required. It also, the casting call asked for the kind of stuff that you would expect, acting, gymnastics, other athletic and artistic talents and stuff like that. And they described the character as sensitive on the inside, yet fearless on the outside.
Like every woman I know.
That's how I read it anyway. one of the important things, the job requires a minimum of 2-year availability beginning on September 2019.
We know when the show's open.
Yeah, the rehearsal window for the show is unknown, but it could feasibly debut before the end of 2019, which would still be a full 2 years after the LaNuba had its last show. Now, we had mentioned before, previously, about a notice of commencement for work to be done on that building that expired in January 2020. So the time frame kind of lines up. So
next December, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's when the work would have to be done. So let's say late next year or early 2020. At some point, we're going to get the new Cirque show. Now, it was mentioned before, too, this Cirque show is going to be a little more Disney-related and themed. So, let's see. Tribute to one of... the previous quote, expected to tie in with Disney's animation history, and the two companies promised to, here's a quote, celebrate Disney's legacy of storytelling in Cirque du Soleil's signature way with the tribute to the one-of-a-kind craftsmanship that makes Disney so extraordinary. So... Disney Springs, Disney-centric Cirque show is going to be coming.
Awesome. Thank you, Charles. Steve?
The Play Disney Parks app is adding special achievements for the holidays. So at Disneyland and Walt Disney World, select attractions have special holiday games and unlockable things. At Disneyland Park, there's holiday achievements at It's a Small World Holiday, It's a Small World Holiday, Haunted Mansion Holiday. Disney California Adventure has one at Grizzly River Run. Special achievements like the Showcase of the Season achievement and the Holiday Adventure achievement are available at Walt Disney World.
Do you get an achievement for the Hanukkah pastrami?
Doesn't look like it, no.
I think they should add that in. Just why not? You've already gone this far. Go the rest of the way. Thank you, Steve. Teresa.
Okay. Cold weather predictions cause cancellations and closures at Walt Disney World. Due to expected inclement weather conditions,
the
conditions, the 8:15 p.m. seating at the Disney Spirit of Aloha dinner show for Wednesday, December 5th has been canceled. Typhoon Lagoon Water Park will also be closed Wednesday, December 5th. The park will reopen Thursday, December 6th. Please note Disney's Blizzard Beach is currently closed for its annual refurbishment. Fantasia Gardens and Summerland Miniature Golf Courses will remain open. Just wear gloves if it's going to be
chilly. Get your golf on while you're freezing.
Get your golf on while you're freezing.
All right.
That's it. Rapid. I'm done.
Thank you, Tracy. Julie.
Okay, so the live-action Pinocchio may cast Tom Hanks as Geppetto. So it appears that Tom Hanks is in talks to play Geppetto in an upcoming live-action version of the 1940 animated classic Pinocchio.
Yay.
His current schedule of film projects is conflicting with a proposed filming schedule, so it has not been finalized. They're supposed to start filming in May. No release date has been set. Fingers crossed.
I know,
fingers
right?
crossed. Because he was in Saving Mr. Banks. He's been Woody for all these Toy Stories. I think that'd be a great cast, in my own personal opinion.
But as he ages.
No. My Geppetto will always be Drew Carey.
What?
What?
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know what he's talking about.
Yeah,
so.
Jonathan
right.
Taylor Thomas?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Julie. Rhino.
So we have some new information about... about Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, the attraction, the Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. The capacity for the attraction has apparently been revealed, which is 1,800 guests per hour. Somebody on Twitter... Brooks Barnes said he tried a test version of the Millennium Falcon ride as part of a reporting. It was built in a California warehouse. He said it was pretty amazing. You're in the cockpit with only a few others, but they'll have enough of these pods that you go into to handle 1,800 people per hour.
Brooks Barnes, isn't he the guy with Time Magazine?
Maybe. He's got a little blue check mark. So
yeah, I'm pretty sure he's like a major journalist.
Yeah, it doesn't say it in this article, so I'm
pretty sure he either is or was with Time. So,
It sounds pretty cool to me because the ride apparently it says the Millennium Falcon ride will use real time video rendering technology invented by Industrial Light and Magic that responds to the way guests use 200 cockpit controls. So, I think that's pretty cool, and all I could think from that originally was, well, the capacity in each individual vehicle must have to be minimal for that many people to be flicking buttons to, like, because people are going to go in who maybe don't speak English or didn't understand the directions and are just going to start flipping switches, and it's going to change the story and stuff. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. I'm excited.
What did you say the number was?
1,800 an hour.
You updated the article.
No, I didn't.
It says Steve Porter updated the article.
Oh, it might have been an original.
Oh.
No. But because I was just curious, Flight of Passage is 1440, so it'll be...
A little bit better.
A little bit better than Flight of Passage.
All right. Thank you, Ryan. Now, Craig.
Okay, this week in Crap I Hate About Walt Disney World, it is the holiday backdrops available inside the Disney Photo Pass studio at Disney Springs. So if you miss Olin Mills and all your Sears and other places where that was, you can, of course, still do that anytime at Disney Springs in the Photo Pass studio.
Do you have to pay for this, or can you just walk in and do it?
That's busy.
Yeah, you can just walk in. Yeah, it's very busy. People love this. I don't understand it at all.
Kylie,
oh, yeah. No,
they still don't have the lasers.
What?
From high school photos, all of us. Yeah, the backdrop you had to stand in front of.
Oh my gosh! Yes, bring those back. We didn't have that.
So you can go do it if you want to with new holiday backdrops like Christmas trees, snow villages. There's presents to hold.
It looks like your grandma cross stitched that background. You know?
Yeah, my grandma probably did that.
Okay.
All right. All right. That'll do it for Rapid Fire. Before we wrap up our show for this week and for this year, I thought we'd talk about maybe what our highlights from 2018 have been and what we're looking forward to in 2019. I'm going to start with Rhino.
Oh, Lord. I was literally like, I hope you don't start with me.
Can I go first?
Mine was not a Disney World.
Let Julie go. She has to go.
You don't want
to
go?
Oh, yeah. Go.
Okay. 2018 has been a trying year, in my opinion. I don't think it's been a fabulous year. I'm looking forward to 2019. So, I guess good things from this year. I survived. Looking forward to next year.
Just stole mine.
But was there anything at Disney that you found to be a highlight this year?
No.
Okay.
Oh, jeez. You bumped me for that.
You guys
that.
Are in the parks way more than I am. Way more. Right. I mean.
All right. Well, okay. There's that.
She's done. There's that.
I thought you were being like for real, so I was real.
For real.
Well, considering it's a Disney theme park podcast, I was being for real. But all right. Take care. We'll let you go.
Get out.
All right. So let me go to Charles.
Then. I thought Rhino was next, but.
Well, because. Julie has to leave, and I don't want to block
her.
Trick with cameras. Yeah,
doing a whole thing. I don't know. You know, as far as the things opening and stuff, I'm anticipating just about everything that's going to come next year. And D23, I wasn't there in 2017. I'm looking forward to being there in 2019. So I'm amped up about that. I'm amped up about Galaxy's Edge and stuff. But as far as most of my best moments of this year aren't really, any of the holiday parties or any of the big events, but there were just like a lot of day-to-day moments that were really special to me. And that's one of the things that I've got to remind myself going into 2019 is the big flashy stuff is nice. But I noticed that all of the memories that I have of 2018 that were my favorite, same with 2017, are like hanging out with you guys in the parks and doing stuff, like doing dining reviews or like going to review something or going to an event. The experience of doing that and hanging out is way more fun for me than any of these covering big things kind of deal. Those things stick in my mind, the jokes we make and stuff. So going into 2019, we've got Galaxy's Edge. We've got all the stuff at Hollywood Studios. We've got all this amazing stuff coming. And I know that the memories that I'm going to have are going to be of like, us hanging out doing it, us hanging out talking about it. So, there's plenty of cool stuff to look forward to. But honestly, at the end of the day, Disney is about spending time with your friends and family and enjoying yourself.
Oh, guys, stop.
Good answer.
Mine's not that good.
Dog.
Slinky Dog Dash.
That was the highlight for you this year.
This has been a year... An interesting year. I have had, we had a really strong focus this year on Disneyland and like the rebranding of the Disneyland show, and we've done a lot of amazing things out there. And I want to save what I have to say about Disney for that. So a lot of highlights for me this year. I don't mean to put down Disney World at all. Happened at Disneyland. However,
That counts for highlights of 2018.
Yeah. Well, I would say, like, one thing in particular I really enjoyed, and I will say this on the Disneyland show again, but I'll say other things too, was the media event that we went to in July. I really liked.
Yes, that was a lot of fun.
And I went on my first Adventures by Disney this year. So I thought that was a really big highlight for me, because I got to go to Imagineering, seeing that map of Disneyland.
Shush. We don't talk about what we see in Imagineering.
I don't know where I saw it. I saw it in a dream. But I don't know. I was wearing my Jim Henson hoodie from the Jim Henson studio the other day, and I was just thinking to myself, I was walking my dog. This was literally yesterday, and I was just like thinking, I got this hoodie, and I'm like, I got this hoodie at the Jim Henson Studios, like, and I'm just thinking, like, I had my hand inside of a Muppet this year at the Jim Henson studio.
That's not code for anything. Yeah. He means it, and it's puppet now. Remember.
Oh, the puppets. Yes. Yeah. Excuse me. But I just was thinking, like, wow. And then I'm thinking, my mind started going. We're like, oh, we had Tinkerbell there at the Tam O'Shanter.
Margaret Carey. Yes.
Yeah. And I was just thinking about that and how funny
she was. Such a highlight. I forgot her name.
Yeah. Well, she yelled at me about slouching. And I believe I'm actually wearing this shirt in the picture I took with her. But I don't know. It was just kind of a whirlwind year of things that I don't know. Disneyland was definitely a highlight for me this year.
Did she ask you to booga booga too?
No, she did not.
You do tend to slouch now that I realize it.
I'm calling
you out on that.
I have scoliosis. I'd appreciate it if you did not call me out on it. So,
okay. That got weird. Craig, what about you? Highlights, slow lights, what's looking forward to next year?
I'm going to have to agree with Rhino that everything Charles said is just kind of crap. the whole sentimental part, like, it's great for him, but for the rest of us, not so much. But, you know, we've had some good times. Like, I would include Italy with you and Sean and Rhino and Kylie and John and Kevin.
And Eli.
Andy. Well,
importantly,
I said who I said.
Teresa and I.
I said who I said there, and I stand by it. I enjoy that sentimental crap. But, yeah, I would say for me, probably the biggest would be getting to see Disneyland Paris this year and going out and covering that. You know, that's just one of those places I didn't ever think I would see for years and years and years, and it fell into my lap and turned around in over the course of about a week and a half from the time they asked us till the time I got to go. So that was pretty awesome. And then just being at that event that we covered there, that was amazing. Toy Story Land opening was really awesome this year. That was something that was just a complete beast to do over a couple of days, but a lot of fun. And not really any lowlights this year.
Looking forward to
next year?
Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, Star Wars is a huge one. D23 Expo, going to be amazing, especially after just coming off Destination D. That got me hyped up for more D23 Expo. And
you and I have the Sorcerer's Package this year, so.
Yeah, so.
I will be sleeping in line alone.
I'll come spoon you for a while, just to keep you warm.
Thank you.
Images.
It's fun we have. But no, there's a lot of good stuff. And then, of course, I have to be remiss without mentioning our marathon show. I don't think any of us thought that we could do it successfully. Like, and I'm not even talking about the raising the money. I just mean, we did not test our equipment ever for streaming for 12 hours. So the fact that we made it until I think the 11 and a half hour mark before we started having those audio issues, like, that is just, I slept well that night saying, like, you know what? It worked. It was an awesome day. So, yeah, that's kind of the list. No bad in 2018. All good, and all good next year, too.
Good for you. How about you, T?
Well, my year started out with falling down the stairs and injuring my leg and having to go to Disneyland with you a scooter.
And when she ran over a little kid.
That's
a highlight.
The highlight was when I mowed down the little middle schoolers and Craig in the distance is running away from me.
He was talking to me about that this week. He's not kidding. That's a highlight.
She legit hurt a kid when she ran over.
He had a cast on his arm already. And I
oh my gosh.
Why are these little children around a scooter? You know, I'm trying, beep, beep. And I just hit the wrong one. And yeah, they were like bowling pins going down. So that was a good week.
It wasn't quite that dramatic. I was there. It was not quite that dramatic.
But I'm going to say that was the first trip I ever took with Charles.
Yeah, she ran over my foot the second she got on the scooter. The very first thing, the literal first thing she did is run over my foot, and I had a boot track on it. Also, we got to know each other and had a great time.
We did. He wears a tie in his bed, though. I just got it from the door when he opened the door. Okay, anyway, because he was in the room next to
me. And nothing else, just the tie.
Just the tie. It was awesome. It was awesome. but no, the California trip was awesome. Shopping with Pete, just the whole thing. And because of my injury and the subsequent surgery I had to have, I wasn't in the parks a lot after that. And I'm looking forward to being in the parks next year. And Star Wars, I'm really looking forward to that.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be a good year.
Good. Steven?
Highlights for me this year, Alani. First time experiencing Hawaii in general. So that was definitely a highlight. I think Toy Story Land was my first like big media event where I was in the land before anyone really, because it was for the media. So that was really, really cool. Yeah, I think those are my two highlights. What I'm looking forward to the most, Star Wars Land. I feel like everything. I don't have an original thought now. I can't think of something as creative as Charles.
The mouse could dance at street party.
Yeah, that's up there. Yeah.
Everybody being healthy. I'm gonna take a cue from Charles. You know. Yeah.
And we have a lot of stuff planned that we haven't talked about.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff we have planned. That
pink slips for everybody.
Yeah. that we can't talk about. We have a lot of stuff planned that we can't talk about, but that I'm really looking forward to, especially after this morning.
I want you to start doing this whenever you say we have a lot of stuff planned.
Right.
But go ahead, Steve.
I think that's it. I mean, I'm just excited for the new year. It'll be fun getting back in the parks and having a lot of fun with you guys. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, this was a year of a lot of highlights for me. I mean, more so than I think many others. Non-Disney related, just in terms of that trip to Italy with you guys in March was phenomenal. That was such a great trip. But the amount of time I spent in Disneyland this year, there's a lot of flying back and forth. 7 trips to California this year. Starting to do the Disneyland show again. That's definitely been a highlight for me. I've absolutely loved that. Getting to do the Adventures by Disney in Czech Republic and Austria was amazing. Alani in Tokyo Disneyland, certainly huge highlights for this year. The marathon show, what I loved most about the marathon show was that everybody was here, pretty much, for the most part. Everybody was here. And we got to, like, hang out and eat and talk and have fun and do shows and raise a lot of money for a great cause. The other highlight for me is that we raised over $200,000 this year for Give Kids the World. Mm. That's a huge highlight for me. Next year, like, specifically, I am looking forward to the Skyliner opening. I want to see what kind of impact that has on things. Galaxy's Edge, of course, really, really excited to see what that's going to look like. I am excited about the new tower at Coronado. I am very excited. I love Coronado Springs. I know everybody's kind of thumbing their nose at this new tower, and I realize it's aimed more toward conventions and business, but so is Coronado, yet it's still a really awesome resort. So I'm very, very excited about it. It's the Grandestino Tower, right? Is that what it's called? Very, very excited about that. I'm very excited about some of the things we are planning for next year that are a bit different than what we've been doing recently. And I'm very, very excited to see where that goes, because one thing I know with this team, we'll start out trying something new, and the sheer tonnage of ideas that come from that and the different directions it takes us is one of the best parts of my job, is that it just can get really creative and really exciting. When you get a group of passionate people together, focused on doing something, amazing things can happen, and That is an absolute highlight of every year that I get the blessing of doing this job. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Like I said, I'm a lot more tired this now than I am usually at the end of December, but I'm also energized by the discussions that we're having over the things that are coming up. I'm anxious to get into that. So, yeah, it's been a great year. It's been a great year. You can always point to things that didn't go the way you wanted them to, or things that you wish had gone better. We can always do that if that's where we want to put our energy. But I think putting it on the things that were good and that felt good and did good for others is a much better use of our efforts. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to say goodbye to this episode and also for the remainder of 2018. We will be back with you again next time on January 8th with the next episode of The Diz Unplugged. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year.